This is Your Life, episode 20. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, we'll be talking about what it takes to get to the next level in any area of your life, your health, your marriage, your career, any area where you want to see improvement. And I'm going to share with you what I've found to be the single most important thing you can do to make your dreams become reality. But first, this episode is brought to you by Bluehost Web Hosting, the only web hosting service I personally recommend. Why? Because it's easy to use, reliable, and inexpensive. It's also the official top recommendation of WordPress itself. Not sure how to set it up? No problem. I've got a free step-by-step screencast that will walk you through the process of setting up your very own self-hosted WordPress blog. You don't have to have any technical expertise, I promise. You can do it in 20 minutes or less, and you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup. And on that page, I'll also provide you with a link to get a significant discount when you sign up for a Bluehost account. Okay, so let's talk about going to the next level. The very fact that you're listening to this podcast tells me that you're the kind of person who wants to grow. I am too. Personal growth is, I think, one of the major driving forces in my life. According to Dr. Timothy Pikul, writing in Psychology Today, said this, quote, "The successful pursuit of meaningful goals plays an important role in the development and maintenance of our psychological well-being. To the extent that we're making progress on our goals, we're happier emotionally and more satisfied with our lives." Well, that's certainly been my experience. Tony Robbins says it even more directly. He says, progress equals happiness. So if you're feeling unhappy, maybe stuck, it might be because you don't feel like you're making progress. That's essential if you're going to feel happiness or some sense of satisfaction about your life. And by the way, this could be in any area of your life. It might be your health, your spiritual life, your intellectual growth, your marriage, or your career. The key is to be making progress toward a meaningful goal. But how do you do that? That's a $64,000 question. How do you ensure that you're making consistent, steady progress towards your goal? So I'm going to tell you, and this is the single most important thing you can do to make your dreams become a reality. I've done it over and over again in my life. And let me give you an example. And I think I may have given this before in episode 4, but it's worth repeating. In 2002, our daughter Mindy got married. And after the wedding, I took the family to the beach. Not Mindy, obviously. She was on her honeymoon. But I took the rest of the family, my four other daughters and my wife, and one of the friends of one of my daughters to the beach. We all read a book called Write It Down, Make It Happen by Henriette Ann Clauser. And her premise, by the way, there's going to be a link in the show notes, but her premise is that just the act of writing stuff down sets in motion certain things in the universe, so to speak. It sets forth an intention. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the kind of secret idea, you know, the book, The Secret, where if you just let loose an intention in the universe that the universe is going to respond. I don't think it works like that. I mean, I think you've got to do more than just stating an intention, but that's where it begins. And frankly, that's kind of the fun of visioneering or creating the future. So we all wrote out a list of 100 things we wanted to do before we died. I made all the girls do this. I made the friend of one of my daughters do this. Gail and I both did it. We had an absolute blast doing it. It was so fun. We couldn't do it in one sitting. We had to do it over the course of the week because we'd kind of run out of creativity, and then we'd have to think some more, and we would share the list with each other and stimulate one another's thinking. It was a lot of fun. Well, obviously, now we call this a bucket list since the movie came out by that same title, but it's really an amazing, audacious list. I'll tell you some of the things I wrote, and again, this was back in 2002, long before any of these things happened. At this point, they were only a vision, only an intention in my heart and an item on my list. But one of the things was becoming the CEO of Thomas Nelson. At that point, I was just a divisional manager. Another thing I wanted to see happen that I put on my bucket list was being in a position eventually where I could write and speak full time. And that, of course, came true a little over a year ago. Running a half marathon And frankly, I wasn't in that great a shape in 2002. So this was a big, hairy, audacious goal. Get another book on the New York Times bestsellers list. I'd gotten one book on the bestsellers list in 1998, but I really hadn't considered writing again until I started putting this list together and put that on the list. Well, when I review that, and I just pulled it up a few months ago, I am amazed and stunned at how many of the items I've actually accomplished. And again, not just because I wrote it down, but that's where it started. And the list keeps growing. I have more than I could accomplish in seven lifetimes. But again, the question is, how do you actually make progress on your goals? I mean, it's one thing to write them. It's another thing to start moving toward them. How do you get from here to there in the least amount of time possible? Well, to the extent that I've achieved any level of success in my life, in any area of life, I believe that it's due to this secret, and this is the premise of this episode. To go to the next level, to go further faster, you need to enlist the help of the best coaches and instructors you can afford. Why is this important? Why would you want to enlist the help of others? Three reasons. Number one, because you want to speed up the learning process and get to your destination faster. And for me, that is really because I've got so many goals that I want to accomplish, so many improvements that I want to make, that I want to get there as quickly as I can. And I realize that, you know, my timetable is not always God's timetable. And sometimes he has detours for me, and that's fine. But again, the reason is because I want to speed up the learning process. Number two is because you don't want to reinvent the wheel. Someone somewhere has already done what you're attempting to do. They've figured it out. They've made most of the major mistakes. They've probably documented that, and they can help you avoid some of the major mistakes in getting to your destination. And the third reason is because you want to avoid the common mistakes and the pain along the way. So practically speaking, how do you do this? Well, I think there are basically three strategies you can use to get to the next level. And I'm going to give them to you from the least expensive to the most expensive. Okay. So strategy number one is read content. I mean, that's like profoundly simple, but so many people don't take advantage of this when they're trying to get to the next level. And this is kind of a duh, but let me start here. Start with Google. If you don't know the answer to something you're trying to do, start by Googling it. I get questions every week from readers and from listeners who ask me questions that honestly, in, you know, 15 seconds of their time, they could have Googled and found an answer to it, but instead they write to me, and it takes, frankly, longer for me to respond, and it's more hassle for them. So start with Google. Then check out Wikipedia. Wikipedia has almost 4 million articles in the English language alone. Studies show it's more accurate than Encyclopedia Britannica. Why? Because it can be corrected on the fly. It can be crowdsourced, so you're getting the best minds available to write these articles, and more importantly, to check, peer check one another and to make corrections in real time as they're noticed. And then I would say also subscribe to blogs. There's so much information out there. So many people being generous today, willing to share their expertise and help you avoid some of these common pitfalls, common mistakes, and some of the pain that will get you to your destination without experiencing that. And then I would say, and of course you would expect me to say this as a former publisher, read relevant books. My dad taught me this years ago. Whenever he wanted to learn about something, first thing he did was go to the bookstore. Didn't go to the library. I don't know quite why that was. Probably library is a good place to start. But he would go to the bookstore and he would buy, I don't know, four, five, six books on the topic, whether it was photography or stamp collecting or building model airplanes, whatever it was, my dad would buy the books and then he would sit down and he would begin to educate himself about why or what he could learn on that particular topic. Well, I've carried over that tradition. I do the exact same thing. When I'm trying to get an improvement in a specific area of my life, again, I don't care if it's my marriage or my career, communication, writing, whatever it is, I buy the books on the topic. What are the main books? And of course, today with so many reviews out there on the internet of these books, it's easy to find usually which are the better ones. And Amazon will even suggest to you what are the top selling, the best ranked ones. And I buy three or four or five of those and I sit down and read them. So that's like the first thing. I mean, why not avail yourself of this content? We live in such an amazing time in history where there's so much information available, a lot of it for free. But come on, the price of a book is pretty cheap. I don't care if you're really on a tight budget. It really comes down to what your priorities are. If you really want to learn something, if you really want to see an improvement, then don't think of it as buying a book as if it were an expense, but think of it as making an investment in your future. You're making an investment in trying to improve some area of your life that's obviously important to you. How much is that worth? I mean, if you knew that you could take your marriage to another level for $20 by buying a book that would really help you, is that worth it? You know, if you could improve your communication ability at work by buying a book for $20, is that worth it? I think so. It is to me. But that strategy number one is read content. Strategy number two is to take classes. Sign up for specialized classes. I mean, there are some things that you can learn in a book and other things that, frankly, you have to be a part of and something you need to participate in, and you need to be able to take it to another level by taking a class. For example, when I wanted to learn how to build a great marriage, Gail and I attended several courses on marriage, and one of them was taught by Gary Smalley, whom you may have heard of, a best-selling author. He actually happened to introduce me to Gail, and he performed our wedding ceremony. But we've been to several of his courses. They were fantastic. They are fantastic. And more recently, we went to one taught by Emerson Eggriches, and there's a link in the show notes to both those guys' websites. But Emerson's Love and Respect seminar is fabulous, well worth going to. And his book by the same title is also excellent. I had the guys in my mentoring group read that 2 years ago, and we all, I think, profited from it. When I wanted to figure out my purpose in life and where I fit into the context of God's plan, I attended John Eldridge's Wild at Heart Boot Camp. In fact, I've been to that 3 times, including taking 2 of my sons-in-law the last time, and we had a great time. And there were just things, again, that we could only learn by being in that class or in that workshop seminar setting that we couldn't have gotten out of a book, because I did read the book by the same title. When I wanted to improve my writing skills, I signed up for an intensive 1-week course from American Writers and Artists, Inc. called the Copywriting Success Boot Camp. And believe me, it was a boot camp. We were writing 10 hours a day, sharing our work with others, having it critiqued. But I grew so much as a writer in that 1-week boot camp. It was awesome. I don't even know if they still do it, but it was well worth the effort. More recently, I took a course called Fast Effective Copywriting, which also gave me some tremendous tools and I think took my writing to another level. When I wanted to improve my golf short game, and any golfer knows that that's really where it's at, it's in the short game, and I'm still not a very good golfer, but when I wanted to improve my golf short game, I signed up for a 1-day course with Nancy Corsolino, one of the best golf teachers in the country, and it was amazingly affordable for what I got. When I wanted to learn how to create alignment in teams, which is huge in organizational life, I took a 1-week course from Gap International called the Alignment Intensive. And when I wanted to learn how to use Photoshop to edit my digital photos, I took a tremendous 1-day course from Ben Wilmore called Photoshop for Digital Photographers. Well, these are just examples. I'm just trying to get your brain going so that you can think of opportunities where you might want to consider taking a class and taking something to the next level. I mean, I've taken courses on fly fishing, combat handgun, I know it sounds crazy, Byzantine chant, ballroom dancing. That was a lot of fun. I think I've forgotten everything. I need a refresher course, but I've taken courses in all these things. And it's amazing how many courses, how many classes are available out there. Many of them for free. Some cost a few $100s. In a few rare instances, the courses cost several $1,000s, but regardless, you can sometimes find very good, free or inexpensive courses taught by churches or other nonprofit organizations, even local colleges. And like I said, enlist the help of the best coaches and instructors you can afford. If you can't afford something, take something you can afford, but don't let it be an excuse for not growing or taking that area of your life to the next level. And then finally, strategy number 3 is to actually hire a coach. In other words, enlist the help of real people who can hone your skills beyond what you can learn in a book or garner from a course. For example, when I wanted to take my business to the next level, I hired Daniel Harkavy, the president and founder of Building Champions, and he helped me craft my very first life plan. And by the way, if you haven't read my free ebook on the topic of life planning, make sure you snag a copy while it's still free at michaelhyatt.com/life plan. And you can also find out more about executive coaching at Daniel's company at buildingchampions.com. I don't get anything for that recommendation. It's just a great coaching experience. that I had, and I love connecting people with them because I really do believe if you can afford it, it will take your life and your business to the next level. Well, when I wanted to create a comprehensive strategic plan for my company, I hired another coach, Dan Mube, who also used to be at Building Champions, but he consulted with me for almost 5 years on every aspect of corporate strategy at Thomas Nelson and was a huge, huge help to us. And when I wanted to take my personal leadership skills to the next level and really see how my own thinking was impacting my corporate results, I hired Eileen Meething of Gap International. And you've heard me mention her on these podcasts before because she was such an enormous positive influence on me and particularly on my leadership ability. And when I wanted to figure out why I kept slicing my drives when it comes to golf, I hired Nancy again, this time not for a class, but for a 2-hour session. She videotaped me so I could see the problem in my swing, and we were able to fix it for good. I've got a lot of other problems in golf, but slicing my drives is now not one of them. And when I wanted to get in the best shape of my life, I hired Tom Jamitter at my local YMCA as my personal trainer, and he designed a plan that I would have never developed on my own and that eventually led to me running my very first half marathon. So the point is that no matter where you want to go, in any area of your life, someone somewhere has already been there. You can learn from a guide and save yourself hours, perhaps months or years of frustration trying to figure it out for yourself. So let me just say this in conclusion, and I've got the questions to come, but just in conclusion for this segment, imagine what would happen in your life if you could do what I'm suggesting in this podcast. What would happen to your marriage if you intentionally tried to take it to the next level by consuming better content, by taking classes, by maybe even hiring a coach or a counselor? What could happen in your career or with your company? Why should you struggle for years reinventing the wheel and making the same mistakes that others have made? You can go further, faster by employing these three strategies that I've covered in this episode. So now let's go to a few listener questions. And the first one comes from Jennifer.
Hi, Michael. My name is Jennifer Hoverstad, and I blog at buildeatlive.com. One thing that holds me back is being overcommitted. How do I decide what commitments to pursue and what commitments to let go of? And then once I decide the ones to let go of, how do I make that happen? How do I tell people I'm no longer going to be committed to that group or that cause? Thanks, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Jennifer, this is a great question. It's something I've been dealing with really for the last 6 months in my own life at a whole new level, feeling like I was overcommitted, overwhelmed, out-resourced, not really having the capacity to meet the demands that were on my life. And I'll tell you what worked for me was, first of all, I had to realize that I was in this situation because I had an inability to say no, or at least it was difficult for me to say no. So I was saying yes to all kinds of things. So where it began for me was getting in touch with what I really wanted to say yes to. I just don't want to be, you know, a naysayer, somebody that goes around saying no all the time, but I want to know what I'm saying yes to. And so I had to get refocused on my priorities. What really is important to me? What matters the most? And where do I want to be at the end of my life? Well, I started getting really clear on my family, on my relationship with God, my involvement with my church. You know, there were a lot of things that are really important to me. My mentoring group, another hugely important thing. And those were the things that I was saying no to inadvertently by saying yes to lesser things and just trying to be a people pleaser and pleasing everyone else. So I got clear on the yes. Then the second thing I did was I began to say no to all new requests that were coming in. You know, I was kind of like a guy that had his plate full already. I had no business going back to the buffet and loading up my plate until I ate or consumed what I already had. So I just started saying no to everything that came up. And that meant saying hello to a lot of great opportunities. It meant disappointing some people, but honestly, the lifestyle I had was not sustainable. This was essential if my life was going to amount to anything and that if I was going to stay on track for accomplishing what mattered most. And then I think in the middle were those commitments that I made where I was overcommitted. A lot of them, frankly, in retrospect, didn't seem that important, but I'd made the commitment. So I wanted to keep the commitment. But in some cases, I went back And I explained to these people where I was. And I just said, look, here's reality. I'm overcommitted and I want to ask if I can bow out of this. And I tried to come up with a solution for those people and ask them for a release from the commitment I'd made. And I don't see any problem with that. You know, if they would have said no, I'd say, or if they did say no, I'd say, fine, I'm going to go ahead and continue to fulfill what I said I would do. But in most cases, people understand. They're overcommitted themselves. And they were very gracious. And in many cases, they let me out of the commitment. So you've got to ask. And I think you've got to find the courage to be able to say yes to the most important things and say no to the less important things. And this is something that I have to find every day. And I've written a lot on this on my blog at michaelhyatt.com. So you can go there and do a search for margin, saying no. There's some examples there, some real life examples that I give on my blog. The next question comes from Chris.
Hey, Michael, this is Chris Stevens from French Lick, Indiana, and finding at chrisstevenslive.com. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on what you had to say on taking your family along for the ride with you as your life is getting better and things are starting to move up, maybe success in some of the different ways. How can we as leaders make sure that our family is blessed with us? Thanks. Look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, great question, Chris. And I think including your family in this kind of stuff is really important. Gail and I often read the same books, listen to the same podcasts, attend the same classes. Even when I've employed a coach in the past, and by the way, Gail had a coach this last year, which was hugely helpful to her. But after those coaching sessions, we would always, first of all, we take a lot of notes in the coaching sessions, and then we would share those notes with one another so that the other party got the benefit of the coaching that we were experiencing. So yeah, I just think you have to be intentional about it and grow together. Because if you don't grow together, reality is that you grow apart and you don't want that. But this has really kept our marriage alive and kept it vital and kept it healthy. By the way, I've done the same thing with my girls. There have been classes that some of my girls have taken with me before. I've shared with them a lot of notes from my coaching sessions as well. And we just have cultivated this culture in my family, I think, of learning and of growing together. So that's the first thing I would recommend. This next question comes from Bobby. It's a little bit off topic, but it's one that I want to answer that is related to this.
Hey, Michael, this is Bobby McGraw. My website is bobbymcgraw.com, and I am in Sugar Hill, Georgia. I had a quick question. I'm not sure if this is a podcast question or not, but I was just curious, in all of your years of traveling and just busy schedule, when you're on the go, what are the things that you found helpful to make sure you stay refueled spiritually, physically, emotionally, that you're eating healthy? Because it seems like the longer I go and the more I travel, the harder it is to fit in and to stay on an exercise routine and then eat healthy while traveling. So in all of your years, just curious if you had any tips. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Bobby, this is also a great question. Again, it's a little bit off topic, not Bobby's fault, but I could have put this in on another episode. But I do think it relates to this. And that is taking your life to the next level, because there are many obstacles that will threaten to take us off course and to keep us from accomplishing what it is that we've set out to do. And obviously travel can be one of those things that can become for us, if we're not careful, an excuse, and not a phony excuse, but a real excuse for why we get off track. And so I think we've got to be, again, intentional. And the key word is plan. You know, we usually know when we're going out on the road. Obviously our travel's not a big surprise. You know, we've usually got it planned for weeks. So we have to be intentional about planning that time. And there's two things that I plan for, actually three things that I plan for when I'm traveling. Number one, I plan for exercise. So I take my workout clothes with me. I check ahead to make sure that at the hotel, there's going to be a gym or some way for me to work out. Now, there are also times when I just think, you know, taking my workout clothes is too big of a hassle. I'll just make that my day off, that day that I'm out on the road, and I'll make it up on the weekend. But again, I'm planning for that. It's not a surprise or something that catches me by surprise. Second thing I plan for is how I'm going to eat when I'm there, because this is really easy to mess up your diet if you're not careful about this. But I find that I can actually eat better on the road because I've got more options on the road. You know, it's more tempting for me now that I'm working out of the house to indulge in something that I shouldn't than it is when I'm out there on the road and I go into a restaurant and I have to tell a waiter what I want. And I'm very specific. I see the menu as a palette. You know, it's something to choose from, but it doesn't mean I have to have what is prescribed there. For example, if I order broccoli and they're going to steam it or cook it in a lot of butter or something else that creates a lot of fat, then I just tell them, no, I just want it steamed. I don't want anything else on it. I order fish this way all the time. So again, it takes some planning. It takes some courage and it takes being intentional. And then the third thing that I plan for when I travel is margin. You know, I don't want to be getting up so early in the morning that I miss my quiet time and my time of personal development. So I set aside that time and I make sure that my meetings happen later in the morning. You know, not too late, but again, I want to protect that time so that I don't get behind on my own personal development, my own spiritual growth. So like most things, it just requires a little planning. Well, let me leave you with this question, and that is, in what area do you want to take your life to the next level? Let me just challenge you to answer that question for yourself. What area do you want to take your life to the next level? And if you'd like to comment on that, you can go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/020, as in episode 20, michaelhyatt.com/020. A few announcements. I'll be in Fort Worth, Texas next week, speaking at the Sendera Funding Lecture Series that they're sponsoring called Business with Purpose. I'm going to be doing two sessions, The 5 Marks of Authentic Leadership, which I've done a podcast on here, and then Platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World. I'll be talking the content from my book, and also I think I've done a couple of episodes here on this podcast related to that. But you can find out more by going to michaelhyatt.com/Fort Worth 2012. There's a link in the show notes if you're interested. And if you're interested in having me speak for your event, check out my speaking page at michaelhyatt.com/speaking. Well, that's about it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd also be very grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. And if you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comment section. I would love, love, love to hear from you. Comment, question, or whatever. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count.
This is your life. Are you who you want to be?